Tonight we are going to hear about Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus. She is a strong woman with a strong faith. She has deep struggles, though, throughout her life. One of her repeated phrases was, "It gets harder to pray, not easier." But that should not be taken as a sign of weakness, for she does pray, and she is going to pray this prayer. "For behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And she will pray this prayer, whatever the cost. And that conviction shows both determination and strength from Mary. And so we begin. It gets harder to pray, not easier. So, Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Amen. It is Mary. And Mary feels like she's been praying that prayer most of her life. It should be getting easier, shouldn't it? We have all heard the story, and believe what we will, but she swears it was an actual angel. He even had a name, Gabriel. He said the power of the Most High, it was the Spirit of God. It probably was the hardest thing that she would ever be asked to do, to face family and friends who just wouldn't understand. But it was such an honor to be chosen, to be an instrument, to be the mother of God's own Son. And so again, her answer was, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And so over the years, that became her prayer as she grew into understanding more and more. There was the prophet at the temple. We all know him, of course, as Simeon. He confirmed the promise made by Gabriel, but he also looked Mary straight in the eye. And as she was standing there holding her darling little boy, "A sword shall pierce your heart too," Simeon said. And he spoke of hope and promise and glory also. But it all would come through suffering. When her family had to run and hide out among the faithful in Egypt, when she and Joseph were told to go back home, just as Joseph was starting to get more business down there, when her son, the carpenter, went out into the wilderness for 40 days, and he came back changed, time and time again, she had to pray, "Lord, let it be to me according to your word. You made a promise. I don't understand right now, but you are in control. I am the servant of the Lord. My life is yours, and so let it be to me as you have said." And then she remembers that day when she and Joseph lost Jesus in a crowd. They all went up for the festival in Jerusalem. Same trip each year. Family and friends were around. All the kids would play, and they would chase each other. There was really no need to worry until they couldn't remember the last time they saw him. Joseph thought Mary had him, and Mary thought that he was with Joseph. And then they ran. Oh, did they ever run? Their fear chased them all the way back to Jerusalem, and they retraced their steps. But Jesus wasn't at any of the usual places. And so they checked places that he wasn't allowed to go, to the pool of Bethesda, where the sick and the diseased gathered, and the Antonia fortress, where the Roman soldiers were housed. Of course, he should know better than to hang out there. It's a dangerous place. It's dangerous to touch a leper and get on the bad side of a Roman soldier. But they had to look, They couldn't find him anywhere. They even searched for him among the graves. They had no place left to look, so they went to the temple to pray. They asked God to lead them, to give them another Simeon or Gabriel, someone to show them the way. And then the old familiar words were on Mary's lips again. But it was harder than ever to pray. Mary knew her own will. She wanted her son back, safe and sound. Still she prayed, "Let it be to me according to your word." So Joseph and Mary ended up finding Jesus there at the temple. Not far from where Simeon stood years before, they found him teaching and asking questions and leaving everyone amazed, just like always. Jesus even wondered why they were scared. "Didn't you know?" he said. Yes, Mary should have known. Oh, she should have known. She didn't understand him at Cana, but it didn't matter. The servants did, as he asked, and the wine flowed. But it didn't get any easier after that. If anything, it got more difficult for her to understand. Once, early on, Mary had to put her foot down. Jesus had been saying some very unbelievable things. And rumors of miracles had gotten the whole neighborhood in an uproar. Her husband, Joseph, had been gone now for about 12 years. So the rest of her family went to bring Jesus home and talk some sense into him. Mary knew he was supposed to do something special, but it wasn't supposed to look like this. So you know what she said, or what he said. Mary and the rest of her family stood outside some ridiculous-looking house packed with peasants who were whispering the word Messiah. And he just sat there teaching. You know, Messiah is a very dangerous word. It can get you into a lot of trouble. Mary knew that Jesus had a lot of important things to do for his father. And because the crowd was so large, she couldn't get into the house. And word came to her then that Jesus had claimed a different family. Anyone who hears the word of God and lives it out, they were supposed to be his mother and father and brothers. Can you imagine what Mary thought about that? After all that she had given up for him, after all that she and Joseph had suffered to save his life and to give him a future, I can imagine that Mary went home, and as the saying goes, she was probably spitting mad. But then when she got home, she prayed that night, like always, and again she prayed, "Let it be to me according to your word." You know, if belonging to his family means hearing God's word and living it out, hadn't she been trying to do that all along? So why stop now? She thought a sword had pierced her soul that day. She had to let go of her claim on his future so that he could do what the angel Gabriel had promised. "He is such a good boy, her son, such a good man. He is doing what his father sent him to do." But how can he fulfill his mission now? How can he be God's anointed if he is in jail? How can God's special son be on trial for blasphemy? It makes no sense. What if they convict him And as we know, the penalty for blasphemy was stoning to death. They won't stone him, will they? What if they stone him? What possible sense would that promise make if it all ends here? Why would God go through all the trouble of rescuing him again and again just to let him die now? What kind of a stupid plan is that? So for Mary, it gets harder to pray, not easier. After all these years, it feels like she understands even less than she did when Gabriel first appeared. She could wish for a clear word from God's angels and messengers again. She could wish Joseph was still with her. But the words of the prayer came to her again. "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And so ends our word for this evening. Amen.